Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, now we bring in another person I'm close with. Nathan Zagura. He joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Nathan, how the hell are you this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Nathan,
we're doing
help us
wonderful.
Out. Help us out. I'm guessing you have never gone for a job interview as a prospective applicant for a position where you have had in the interview to sit next to another guy, another finalist for that interview. How bizarre must this dinner have been between Shador Sanders and Travis Hunter with Jimmy Haslam and Andrew Berry?
I definitely actually probably have. When I was applying to McKinsey back in the day, I definitely was on dinners where it was the people that were at that moment. The difference there was I didn't know them. I don't think it would be awkward for them at all. They're friends.
Yeah, but aren't they competitors?
Enjoy the experience.
Yeah, but Lyman and I tried to play it out how it would be earlier in the show. We actually got into a shouting match with each other.
So we didn't do well. We didn't get picked.
No, I don't think. I mean, I think they're both rooting for each other. And the way that it is now, they both know that, well, in the case of Travis Hunter, for sure, he knows he's going early. I think he would love to see Shador go early as well. They're going to get good money there. And it's not like the old days where if you were that first pick or the second, it was so much different. You know, it's all slotted. So, no, I think that they're probably both happy for each other. I don't think they're looking at it like that way. I think if it was Shador and Cam Ward, that would be different. They don't play the same position. So I don't think it's – no. Not an issue to me.
Nathan Zagura joining us here. You're a fine man. Do you still believe what you said earlier about a month ago that with the Browns' first choice that they have, they're going to take a quarterback, or have you moved off that now?
I mean, if there's a quarterback that they had conviction about, mm-hmm. I think they absolutely would and should take a quarterback. If they don't, I don't know. It's interesting how a lot of the narratives have changed on people, and one of them obviously was at that dinner last night, Shador Sanders, when he hasn't played football. You know, there are a lot of people that, and we've had people on our show recently who think he's a top five, like it's a no-brainer, run the card up, take him at number two, Emory Hunt, you know, who famously, I think one of his big ones is 2018, had Lamar as the best quarterback in that class, which nobody had, and that looks pretty good right now. But, you know, we've had people who say, yeah, you absolutely take Bucky Brooks. Take him right there. It's a no-brainer. And then there are other people that they don't see it as much with him and think he's maybe like a late first-rounder or an early second-rounder. So if there's a lot of variance there, my belief is this. If you think that in your organization, this quarterback can be a top 16 quarterback in the NFL, he's absolutely worth taking with the second pick. If you don't believe that, then he's not. And the crazy thing is about a month ago, too, Kenny, you have to remember, coming out of the combine, nobody thought Tennessee was taking a quarterback. Normally we go to the combine and you get really good information. Like that Herbert was going to the Chargers. Daniel Jones was going to go to the Giants. Kyler was going to be that number one overall pick. It was a no-brainer. This year, the two things that came out of the combine that were locks were that the Titans were not going to take a quarterback with the first pick overall, and that the Browns were going to take a quarterback with the second pick. And now it appears as though the Titans are going to take Cam Ward at number one. And there seems to be a lot of uncertainty about what the Browns are going to do at number two. And I said it all along, there are five boats. You either trade up to one to get Cam Ward, or you call the Titans bluff if it truly is a bluff, and they stay there, they take whoever they take, you get Cam Ward at two. You take Shador at two, that would be the second one. Third one would be you take Travis Hunter at two. The fourth is you take Abdul Carter at two, and the fifth is that you trade out of that pick. That's really kind of, those are the scenarios right now for the Cleveland Browns.
Nathan Zagura, what analysis he just provided us.
That was awesome.
Incredible.
Thank you.
So, Nathan, with all of that said, we've gotten a bit of a disagreement on this show about what happens if there is some big time free falling in the draft, some slippage, if you will, for Shador Sanders, and he starts to go and go and go. Then, do the Browns trade back up, or does that constitute a lack of conviction and now you're playing with fire?
So, I often think, so you're talking about trading back up, right?
Correct.
And what does that look like? If you're going, let's say, from 33 to 20, that's probably going to cost, it's obviously going to cost you 33. Does it cost you 67? Does it cost you 67 and something else? And so, I like it if it were not an expensive move, because then you say to yourself, oh man, maybe we get Travis Hunter at two, and then we come back and we're able to pair him with Shador Sanders and got familiarity. I love that. I think that'd be a great outcome if you came away with both of them. But if you're going to end up giving up 33, 67, let's call it, and maybe your other third round pick, if you're willing to give up three picks and really two additional players at you know, valuable pick positions for the quarterback, just take them at two, right? I mean, that's the way I look at it. So I don't know about kind of that.
I said that yesterday, Nathan. I got killed. I'm sorry. I just want to agree with you, and I want to hug you, because you just explained it the best way. Like, if you like him that much, then take him. Now I'm talking myself back into him, and I'm paying more. I've made it a more expensive draft choice to take a guy who I might not have been sure enough to take at number two overall, the most important position.
Here's the thing for me, honestly. If you don't have a conviction about a quarterback early in this draft, it just historically has been kind of a fool's errand to take a quarterback. You know, once you get out of this, even in the second round, we're talking just like recent history. You know, you look around the league, the starting quarterbacks are all first-round quarterbacks. I think we can name the non-first-round quarterbacks off the top of our heads on one hand. You got Brock Purdy. You've got Dak Prescott. So you've got, we'll see if James, I'm going to count Jameis as a starter there just because it's more fun, and I know we're going to talk about that in a second. You've got second-rounders Carr. You've got, who am I missing? I'm missing another second rounder. Jalen Hurts. There could be one other. It's like five or so quarterbacks that are not first round draft picks that are starting in the NFL, because I'm going to assume Cam Ward starts in Tennessee.
Really?
That's the league. And then here's the other thing, and this is the debate that I began into, and I don't know if you guys came across, they posted a clip of this on social media from Brown Daily. We need to figure out how to score the football. And so in my mind, this draft, we've been given like the life raft with the number two pick. Now, the only way kind of out of our big overall, like big picture mess, is to draft a rookie quarterback and have him be good on that rookie contract that gets us through 27. And then in 27, we're going to have a lot of money to spend. But the big picture is, over the last 5 years in the National Football League, since the playoffs have expanded to 14 teams, so seven per conference, if you finish in the top seven in scoring, one stat, you finish in the top seven in points for in your conference over the last 5 years, you had an 83% chance of making the playoffs. An 83% chance if you're just one of the top seven scoring teams in your conference. That's true across both conferences. If you're a top seven defense, it goes down to about 60%, which is still good, still better than 50-50, but it is not the strong correlation that if you can score the football, you can go to the playoffs. The Browns were the worst scoring team in the NFL. So I look at this number two pick and I say to myself, we have an opportunity to either get a quarterback we really like or the best non-quarterback offensive player in this draft. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to be the top defense year after year. The rules are against being a defense. That doesn't mean you don't have a defense. But the reality is right now, you could roll out a defense as the Cleveland Browns right now. It'll be top half of the league. It will. Your starters will be Miles and Isaiah McGuire. You'd have Malik Collins next to Mike Hall. Your linebackers, hopefully JOK, but if not, Hicks and Devin Bush. Your nickel would be Greg Newsome, MJ Emerson, Denzel Ward. You have Delpit and Hickman. You can roll that out right now and feel pretty good about it, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, you would.
On the offensive side, you can't. You can't. You need right now, today, two quarterbacks. You need two running backs. You probably need two receivers, and you certainly need at least one tight end and maybe even a tackle. So you have significant needs on the offense. And so when I think about it from that standpoint, in a draft that's loaded at running back, which means you could probably get one really a great one at 33 or maybe even a great one at 67, it's loaded at tight end. That really helps you out. It's not as loaded at receiver, which makes 33 probably a better spot to get a receiver should an Abuka or a Luther Burden, somebody like that, fall to you. You have an opportunity, I think, in this draft in your first four picks to get a quarterback, to get a running back, to get a receiver, and to get a tight end, to get weapons, to help you score. Do you know that last year the Ravens scored more than double the points the Cleveland Browns did?
My God.
Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
A staggering stat, but it is true. Here's another one for you. Do you know what the average points for a playoff-winning team was last year over the course of the entire playoff run? What the average score of the team that won a playoff game was? 31.8 points. This is an offensive league, and the Cleveland Browns have an opportunity to turn an offense around. Now, I would go out right now today. This is just me, and you guys might kind of roll your eyes at this. I'd sign Nick Chubb today. I'd sign Elijah Moore today, and I'd sign Jed Wills today. And I'd bring in Joe Flacco.
I'm glad you
and
said
we have a rookie. We have Flacco. You got Pickett.
I'm the glad you said that in that order. I'm sorry.
Familiarity.
Yeah.
What?
I'm glad you said it in that order. If you would have started with Jed Wills, everybody would have turned the radio off. I agree with you.
Well, here's the thing. Nick Chubb, first of all, right, obviously the market that he was hoping to be there isn't there.
Uh-huh.
I think not only would it be great for the fan base, you give him a chance to cut the 2-year injury, to come back, give him some incentives. I think it's great for everybody, right? Nick Chubb's back. Elijah Moore, 60 catches a year, certainly knows this offense. I'm not saying he's a game changer, but clearly you'll be able to bring him back at a relatively good value, knows your offense, gives some stability, and then opportunities where he had games where he was put in more of a featured role. He did very well. And I just think it's good stability in that position. It allows you to not necessarily have to force in the draft. When you go to Jed Wills, the fact of the matter is the guy's 25 years old, started almost 60 games. Has he been great? No. Have there been issues? Yes. But I would say this. This, to me, I'd sign him on a one-year, basically nothing deal. It's a prove-it deal. There's no market, it appears. Otherwise, he'd be signed somewhere. He's still a talented guy. And I think a lot of the questions with Jed Wills are, what do you want this to be for you as a career? And we've seen various players in the Browns who have left the Browns, been humbled. I'll take Baker Mayfield for an example. He's thriving in Tampa Bay. And he even said, you've heard many interviews recently, like, I needed to hit rock bottom. I needed to mature. I needed to get myself together and get focused and make this a priority. And now he's played very, very good football the last 2 years, but I'm happy for him. Jed Wills still has that kind of talent. So maybe this has been the humbling moment. For me, it's just a free lottery ticket, and it also eliminates potentially, you know, a need that you must go with in the draft. So I think those are some little things you can do, position yourself for the draft, and then load up on offense. Because if we can't score, we're not going to be able to win. We're talking about going in a division where you've got to be able to beat one of the best scoring teams in the league in the Baltimore Ravens, and another one of the best scoring teams in the league in the Bengals. Bengals, by the way, were the one team out of the top seven scoring teams in the AFC last year that did not make the playoffs. Nobody wanted them in the playoffs, even though their D was bad, because they can score. And I think that, to me, that's got to be the mindset for this Cleveland Browns organization. Going into a draft with these assets, we have got to find a way that we can be a competitive offensive football team. I think the days of being like, we're going to just, you know, dominate them on defense and we're going to win 17-13, that doesn't happen. There wasn't a single playoff win last year where a team didn't score 22 or more points.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
The average 31.8. Of the top four scoring teams in the league, they've been three of the final four each of the last 2 years. Like, we're talking conference championships. That's the league. It's people want it. Let's load up the defense. And it's just too hard. The rules are against you. It's just too hard. We have to be able to score to be able to win consistently.
I love this passion. Nathan, I love it. Can I throw one theory before you, at you before we let you go?
Yes.
If I were Jimmy, and I'm having dinner with a quarterback prospect, I'd call the restaurant. I said this to Lima at 7 o'clock. I'd call the restaurant early and have them mess up the order on purpose. And you don't want to know why?
Why?
I want to see the quarterback, if he corrects the problem, and then how he treats the people who he needs to correct the problem. I want to see leadership and whether or not he's willing to correct even the most mundane of things.
So my question to you is, when you say get his order wrong, so are we talking like if he ordered a steak and he wanted it medium rare, you're saying bring it out well done and see what he does? Or yeah. Are you saying like if he ordered the lobster, bring him a pork chop?
Nathan, how does he operate in chaos? That's the question.
Yes. I want to know what he does.
I care a little bit more about because the chaos on a football field, but I like it. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I want a quarterback who knows what he wants and is willing to tell a wait staff what he wants, but I also want him to treat them with respect because he's a rookie. And so you need to go in and tell veterans how you're going to run this offense with you at the helm of it. So Joel Bitonio, you're going to have to talk to him. Or you're going to talk to Joel Bitonio like a grown man. You ain't going to sit there and go, how hard is your job? You're not going to do that. You're going to talk to people with respect. I want to see how it's done.
Well, Ken, I'll tell you this. If you were the owner of an NFL franchise, I mean, I may be in my mid-40s. I can still fling the ball a little bit, and I would absolutely ace your restaurant test. I would make darn well sure I got the meal that I wanted, and I would do it in a very kind and respectful way.
And I would also put you into a game late in the season if we were out of the playoffs because I'm a carnival barker and I want people to be entertained.
But Nathan, if it were the Bengals.
The end of a preseason game, that was the dream. We don't need to go in the regular season.
Nah, I'd do it in the regular season. Hell, they wanted to trade a third-round pick yesterday for Joe Milton over a game he had at the end of the regular season. Maybe I could spin you for a fifth. I don't know.
Nathan, I was just thinking if it were the Bengals confronted with the exact same scenario, they would end up just leaving the players with the tab. See how they handle that. Because that's how it's going to be here in Cincinnati.
And it sounds like they would tell them that they should have been happy. They should, well, you guys right. should be happy. You should be happy with what's going on.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's an interesting scenario, to be sure.
Nathan, thank you so much for the time. All the best.
All right, you got it, guys.
Then they'll just tell him. Oh, we're just going to a different restaurant.
Yeah, right across the river. Going to that one. Send that to Rapine and Egger.
There's a restaurant in Covington we're going to go to.
Send that to those hacks in Cincinnati, or who's the new morning show host?
Don't worry about it. I don't know his name.
All right, I gave Mitch an assignment about 2 weeks ago to pay close attention to the new reality football show that had everybody talking. And that, of course, is Stadium Lockup on A&E. Stadium Lockup, A&E. Kenny, was this on your radar?
No, it wasn't.
The Browns are involved in a reality show, and it's not on Ken Carmen's radar. Hello? What's going on here?
I'm sorry.
Owen, was it on your radar?
No, it wasn't.
Well, I forgot about it, too.
I was watching old Trailer Park Boys.
I don't have that channel, so...
I forgot about it, unfortunately. And then I finally, yesterday, got a chance to watch it. And then I'm like, Mitch, we've got to get some of this. This is sensational. And now there were people wondering the merits of this show. Why do we need a reality show about stadium lockup at Cleveland Browns Stadium?
I don't know if you can call a show sensational if it's 4 weeks later and we're just now getting to it.
I think the internet has squandered a golden opportunity. Mitch, you finally got a chance to see it.
Well, I was going to say, we did play a few clips of it, I believe, a few weeks ago when Ken was out. We had the first episode when they were playing against Dallas. And this one was against Pittsburgh, I believe, the Thursday night game.
The Thursday night game. So let's just see...
The last win of the year.
That's right. That's a good point. Think about the tensions. Think about the exuberance.
Name of the show is, again, Stadium Lockup on A&E.
And they're showing you all the behind the scenes, the security nightmares and hassles. And you can imagine the fighting that goes down. The 537 boys get into it with 538. Hey, that's my seat. No, my seat. Hey, no, you're one over. I'm a 537 boy. I'm a season ticket holder.
Don't go messing with them.
You can imagine how
Mason
this...
Mason-Dixon line runs right through.
People walk by 537, they go, roll them up.
And folks, what we have here, security, I call them heroes. That's what I call them, Kenny. The medics, the security, the officers that are there having to control... these individuals during what could be a very, very toxic situation. Here it is. Roll number one. This is what happens right that you want to talk about building the intrigue. This is a tease, Kenny. We learn from the best on teases. This is a tease.
Someone passed out in the bathroom, probably.
There's someone in there?
Okay.
We were stopped by TV with a possible passed out person in the bathroom.
It's locked, and they said possibly someone's in here, so we're going to just sit tight.
Hey!
Okay, guys, key. You got me.
Get the out of here.
So they go to commercial break.
Is this the
break.
First 48, or is this a show about
I'd say
what
my
was
heart,
that?
I don't wear, my wife has the heart monitor on her phone
or
her watch.
Yes.
I don't have that. I think it would have gone off the register.
I'm freaking out right now.
What's going on in there? What could possibly be going on in there? And this is tense atmosphere, big game, emotions, rivalry. What is going on? I waited through the commercial break, and here is the reveal.
Hey, guys, key. Yo.
You got me.
Get the f*** out of here.
Nope.
There's no one in there.
What? The bathroom was open. There is no one inside.
Woo! Okay. Crisis averted.
You think they were going to open up the door? Who do you think they were going to find in there?
A dead body. I was fully expecting a dead body.
Speaking of the first 48.
Either that.
George Kokinas!
We finally get the miracle. We finally realize it's George Kokinas and the incident.
It's like an episode of Scooby-Doo. Go ahead.
Okay, so then later on, we have a drunk fan. Kenny, when they tell you at a game,
yeah,
just stop. You're going to get arrested. Just stop. What I learned from watching this show is nobody stops.
Nobody.
They have been drinking all day, especially in this case where it's a Thursday night game. So I don't even know if this is going to be discernible. Here is a drunk fan. I had him. I don't know, Mitch. Would you say mid to late 20s?
I'd say around there, maybe up, maybe lower 30s as
he
well.
He is losing his mind, and then you see he'll walk past it, and they never show what happened. There are paper towels in the middle down by the holding tank that they can put you in if you act a fool at this game. They will lock you like you're in a literal prison,
yeah,
underneath in the bowels.
Like a stadium lockup?
A stadium lockup. They take you behind the scenes like few would before. So let's see if you can make anything out of this.
So I just got a call for a guy that's upset, irate, and fighting with officers. They're bringing him down to the cell. So I got to go get guys ready.
Hey, guys.
Look at the police from the cameras right now. This is over the person that's coming out from 121. Boy, is he a gem.
God.
What happened?
There's supposed to be a drain in there. It's a drain in there.
It might be a clog.
Oh.
On the door.
Got a cleanup down there.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he relieved himself.
There we go. I got cleanup right here.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you want to talk about a show that is gripping the nation and taking you behind the scenes where I'm not so sure we were ever meant to see what's back
that
there.
That does sound like lockup, like extended stay, like back in the day.
Kenny, they are losing their minds. And every time they're like, hey, we don't want to arrest anybody. We don't want to press charges even. Because they're all like kicking the medics. I do feel bad for the medics.
Yeah.
The medics are just getting their asses kicked by these unruly drunks who are high on God knows what. And they say, hey, we're not going to press charges. Can you just leave safely? They never can. They just keep going. Finally, we have somebody who got into a skirmish being told to sit down. They're getting into it with other people that are at the venue. And then people want to throw their weight around. That's what happens because everybody at a Browns game is either a season ticket holder or they're related to somebody very special. Let's see if we can figure it out.
I ask these people to pay to sit down.
I mean, it's hard because we can't make people sit down. However,
we're not going there.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll make a note of that. He wasn't too happy. He disclosed that he was son from the Cleveland Browns. You know, Hall of Famer. We appreciate that. However, you know, we still have fan conduct issues that we need to address in the stadium.
Is it actually his son?
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. You can always contact the Browns and let them know the experience that you had, you know, and then, yeah. My name, yeah, Matt Ryder.
You know, the Haslams are going to find out.
Yeah, understandable, sir. You got to do what you got to do.
Absolutely embarrassed and disgusting.
I mean, I...
Oh, my goodness.
I had to text Joe Thomas. I'm like, I didn't know your kids were this old. Throwing Browns Hall of Famers' names around and then saying, the Haslams are going to hear about
first,
this.
First, it's yelling at Steelers fans at the Hall of Fame parade right in front of us, and now it's this.
Just get carried away. So, really, the crux of this show is not a lot really goes on. However, I thought it was interesting. They will not... They can't tell anybody to sit down.
Well, they can't... I think they can try to tell you to sit down, but they can't, like, go and, like, put
make
you in
people
your seat.
Sit down.
Yeah, they can't do that.
But it's a bunch of season ticket holders telling ushers, telling security, we are season ticket holders. Tell that guy to sit down. And it's what escalates almost every fight in that stadium.
You're telling somebody to sit down is going to... You always get irked about sitting down.
There's no peacekeeping when that goes down, so... Kenny, I know you haven't sat in the... a lot of this was in the upper level. Some of it was in the club section. There was a lot of stuff going on. I mean, they what was crazy to me is how you've always thought of casino security, where they can find something so quickly. You're like, what, a football game was 65,000? No, they can find almost everybody. And they can find out how you bought your ticket, how you... they like, you're in trouble. You think you go to that game and you're anonymous. They have cameras on every
Don
seat
Rickles
in that place.
Don Rickles comes up to you and wants to go talk to you in a different room.
Seriously?
Yeah. See that.
So does that, is that a good teaser? Does that make you want to watch Stadium Lockup on A&E?
Oh, obviously it's the Browns, so I think I do. I didn't realize, I mean, that noise that guy was making was so guttural. Because I watched a lot of Lockup in the 2000s. A lot of Lockup. Was the Booty Man or whatever that one guy was. That one guy was going after people. I mean, it was
Brutus
crazy.
The Barber Beefcake?
No, not Bruce the Barber Beefcake. He wasn't, Brutus, he was not in prison. There was a lot of good Lockup episodes back in the day. Stadium Edition might be pretty good. I got to go see it.
The amount of money they invested in intense music for this show.
It's very good.
Hey, cinematic. It's getting you to really, really delve deep into the world of stadium security.
Do we have Coming In Hot coming up?